Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair, and this week we're going to be talking about a great majestic symbol, the symbol of American freedom, something that you see on flags and on currency, the bald eagle, and the bald eagle specifically in Washtenaw County, and the rebound that it's been making over the last 45 years from a heavily endangered species to one that has made significant progress, but is still facing some threats. And with me today is Rochelle Roque from Michigan Audubon. She is the Conservation Science Coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're here to talk about the bald eagle. So why are we here today to talk about the bald eagle? What is it that we need to know first off about what dangers they're facing at the moment?
Well, a recent study has come out that looked at the levels of four common flame retardants, or PBDEs, in Michigan's bald eagles. And the results were pretty shocking. It said that the levels of flame retardants in our eagles were among some of the highest found of any bird across the world.
And these were banned early in the 2000s, right? But are they still in use, or is it just things that build up in the environment that are now kind of, I don't want to use the word leaking, but making their way up the food chain into bald eagles?
Yes, it's a very persistent group of chemicals that are resistant to breaking down, and they are airborne, so they can travel very far. They can build up in our waters, and in the case of the bald eagle, it's likely building up in the fish that they rely so heavily upon.
And this is a bit of a reversal of the trend from the last 45 years, because in the early 70s, the bald eagle, especially in Michigan, was near extinction levels. And a lot of changes were made to bring the bald eagle population back. So let's talk about that for a second, what changes were made, and then we'll get back to where we stand today. So what did we do to bring the bald eagles back to a larger population level, specifically in Michigan?
Well, the chemicals that affected the bald eagles so heavily were banned. So those chemicals were having really damaging effects on their reproductive abilities. They were making their eggshells very weak, so when the bald eagles went to incubate them, they would crush their own eggs. So once those chemicals were banned, we saw a decrease in the level of those chemicals in the environment and in our eagles. And we also placed protections on the eagles. We protected their habitats and their nesting areas.
So that's brought the population from around 75 nesting pairs 45 years ago to around the level it is today, which is about 850 nesting pairs in Michigan. So everybody felt like we're making significant progress. Now, is this a new study that's showing these harmful levels of chemicals, or is this something that has been known about, or how did this come about?
Well, this is a new study, but it's widely known that these chemicals are in our environment. They've been used for many years, and they're used in many consumer products, almost every consumer product. So these scientists were aware of it. They know that it exists in our environment and in other wildlife. They also tested Wisconsin river otters, and it's well known that these chemicals are also in humans.
So what is it that we're advocating now be done to continue the good work that's been done over the last almost five decades to protect this continued growth of the population of bald eagles in Michigan?
Well, we definitely want to continue to protect these birds and protect the habitats that they rely on. We also need to gain a better understanding of what the effects of these chemicals are on bald eagles. The good news is that right now we don't see any negative impacts on our bald eagles, even though the concentrations may be high in their systems.
Okay. And what would the effect be? I mean, do you know long-term what the persistence of these chemicals in their systems, what effect that would have on the bald eagle?
Well, studies have not been done specifically on bald eagles, Okay. And it's likely that the effects will be different in different species, but they have looked at the effects of PBDEs on kestrels, and they've found that the chemicals have negative impacts on their reproductive capacity. They have lower nest temperatures. They have smaller eggs, weaker eggshells.
So let's go back again to the early 70s when the bald eagle almost went extinct in the country. The symbol of our country almost went extinct. Obviously, habitat was being lost. animals that eagles eat were declining because of hunting, that eagles were shot at some point because they were thought to threaten livestock. I mean, a lot of the things that we take for granted today were put in place during that period. Also, the chemicals we talked about earlier, DDT especially, an insecticide was the one that was fairly universally known that caused the eagles to have those thin-shelled eggs. So during that period, you ban DDT, you prohibit the killing of eagles, you improve water quality all across our environment. We protected the nest sites, which was very important. And then you restored eagles back to the area where they had been before they had been declining in such a large degree across the country. So this is where I'm going with this, that the Endangered Species Act no longer applied to eagles. The population is protected, it's healthy, it's growing. Do you feel that there's additional protections necessary to keep this growth in place and protect the bald eagle population in the future?
I think we definitely need to continue the protections that we've done in the past. We definitely need to protect their habitat. And now we should also be making additional observations. We should be observing their reproductive behaviors, you know, anything quirky that might be showing up as a result of these chemicals.
So when an animal like the bald eagle is taken off the endangered species list, does it limit the access to grants or to funding that you might have in order to do that kind of research?
It definitely makes it more difficult. But, you know, one of the most important sources of money or just volunteer effort comes from the public.
Is there anything that we as a general, just people out there every day, can do to help the eagle population, or on a sidebar on that, to help the environment? Is there anything that we could advocate for to limit the impact that chemicals like these PBDEs have on our environment?
Sure. I think if you're concerned about these chemicals in your home or in the environment, you can make smarter purchasing decisions. These chemicals are often found in foams and textiles that are found in our furniture or baby products, but nowadays there are many companies that offer PBDE-free products.
You're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair this morning, and sitting next to me to talk about the bald eagle population in the United States, and specifically in Michigan, is Rochelle Roque. She is the Conservation Science Coordinator for Michigan Audubon. As a concluding thought here, tell us a little bit about Michigan Audubon, what it does, and what your purpose there is.
Sure. Michigan Audubon is a bird conservation organization. We strive to connect birds and people. So we do that through many ways. We have lots of educational programs, festivals, and we also support research across the state looking at threatened and endangered species. We obviously are very concerned about these sort of contamination issues.
And there are other Audubon societies as well. There's the National and the Detroit. You work in coordination with them on issues like this.
Yeah, we definitely do. There are many, many local chapters that do a lot of great things for the local area.
Well, thanks for being with us here today. If you'd like more information about this, you can find it at our website. It's WEMU.org.